So let's get into it. Let's get into the news. What has been happening in our sick, sad world? Let's have a look. Let's talk about this. This came in. I had multiple people emailing me about this. When are you going to cover this story? Obviously, I'm a natural candidate to do it because, you know, I did extensive coverage on, Skins Casinos, and then the case opening sites, which of course were the next scam. And now, I got messaged about a month ago, and, because I kept in touch with a lot of the sources from that world, where it was people who were either coders on those websites, or they'd worked for the businesses that used the websites or owned multiple websites in the portfolio. So basically I kept in touch, and obviously there's a lot of overlap between what this new craze is. And people messaged me and said, Richard, the new craze that's coming out is basically to take the existing technology from case opening and skins gambling websites and apply it to apply it to real life items. And this was kind of popularized back in 2016, I think it was. There was a website called StockX, you might have heard of. It was called the first stock exchange for stuff. It was conceived as basically a stock market for sneakers. So if there were any rare or out of manufacture, out of print, I suppose you want to call it that, you know, sneakers that weren't being made anymore, people could basically put their sneakers, if there were sneaker collectors, up onto this website, and then, you know, people could buy them based on, you know, what their value was in the current sneaker market. So it was just like the stock market had fluctuations, you know, rarer items would be worth more, and people were basically going in and buying these sneakers. Now, there are a lot of problems with this, as I'm sure you can imagine. Dead stock, that's the term for it. I'm not really into shoes at all, of any kind, honestly. They're just things that go on your feet. Some people like them, whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat, I'm all right with it. But anyway, so obviously you can imagine the problem that you would have with a website like that is, you know, it's the general public selling items to other members of the general public and using this website as a conduit to do so. So that it's all done on trust. And unfortunately, one of the things that if you Google StockX, you'll see lots of come up. People were selling fake sneakers on there, you know, and obviously you would need to be really juiced in. You know, some people collect sneakers for show. Some people collect sneakers for show and they're interested in everything else. And then some people really know their stuff and they know when something's legitimately dead stock. They know what year it comes out, how many, whether they can tell immediately if it's a fake or a forgery, basically, like you would with like antiques or anything else, you know. So anyway, there were a lot of people selling fakes, and you combine that world with the world of case openings and skins casinos, and now you've got this recipe for disaster, which is you go to this website, you buy a case, it spins around, and it says, you know, hey, you've got Yeezys, congratulations. And then if you claim the Yeezys, generally what's, and I'll demonstrate all this to you, but generally what happens is these aren't real Yeezys. That's if you get your Yeezys at all. So you take young impressionable kids who are already increasingly in games and in periphery websites to games, already getting hooked on these gambling mechanics, and now you start applying it to real world items that most children, most teenagers are gonna want, you know, aspirational things. It was the same when I went to school. There are some things that are never likely to change, certainly not in my lifetime, not until we hit Star Trek levels of fucking advancement. You know, you're always going to need nice shoes. You know, back when I went to school, it was probably the first, you know, there was some Nike craze probably, and then in particular the Reebok pumps. You know, the basketball shoes where you had the little ball on the front and you had to press it to inflate the shoe. If you didn't have those, you weren't shit. You didn't have those, you weren't shit. And then it was probably like Skechers or I don't know. I can't remember the exact chronology of all of the shoes. But yeah, basically, you know, there was always a must-have item. A must-have item of clothing. A must-have item of, you know, a must-have shoe. Or, you know, must-have the toys, gadgets and gizmos. You know, before mobile phones, types of watch. You know, there was a phase when I was like 14, 15, people were getting Tag Heuer watches. I used to know a dude used to sell fake tags in school. You know, we're like 14, 15. He'd come in like a fucking geezer on a street corner with a fucking jacket full of fake Tag Heuer watches, you know? And this is something that just always goes on. You know, kids are very impressionable. They want to impress their peers. They want to have status among their peers. And basically you can do it with items and objects, you know, that show money, you know, or just scarcity, you know, having connections, being able to get them. So obviously, this is especially dangerous once you attach it to a gambling mechanic, because it's already something young people and children want, and perhaps don't have the level of self-control or self-development to understand that you always pay the piper. You know, a 30-year-old guy can weigh up, hey, should I spend 30 grand on a watch? Oh no, what the fuck am I thinking? I can barely make my mortgage payments. I'm going to leave that 30 grand watch on the shelf. Won't get that. Definitely much better having a home, you know. Whereas kids, obviously, they don't think like that. They just think, gimme, want, I can have it. Very susceptible to fake promises because they want to believe, you know. It's just something that you develop as you get older, that level of cynicism, you know. It didn't come as any surprise to me then, that because these sites have been out for a while and nobody has said anything. These sites have been going, I want to say, for almost a year now, of basically loot boxes that have real in-life items in, supposedly, allegedly, and you gamble, you spin them, and you claim them, and, ooh, I've won an iPhone. Ooh, I've won a fucking, you know, Supreme t-shirt, you know? It's been around for a while. And it didn't surprise me to see, because listen, I'll just say it plain. Jake Paul, Rice Gum, YouTubers like this, they're pieces of shit when it comes to, all they give a fuck about is dollars and cents. They know they've got a huge audience. They know the vast majority of that audience is young, impressionable kids, at best teenagers. And they will just, and this is why companies like Mystery Box, who understand synergistically, we need to tap into that audience because they're the audience that's vulnerable and susceptible to what we offer. They go straight to these guys and immediately they, for whatever it is, and it'll have been hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because keep in mind, you know, back when the case opening websites were around, if a YouTuber like McSkillet was getting $75,000 for one video, imagine what a YouTuber like Jake Paul, Rice Gum, people like that are getting, okay? So you can put it together. So you can see there was this story, they got called out, both Jake Paul and Rice Gum. Thanks for the sub there.
That's right.
Appreciate it. And I don't mind. Hey, remember, a Prime sub is just as good to me, right, as it is as if you dipped into your own pocket. So if you got a spare Prime, definitely fucking use it on this channel. You're taking money out of Jeff Bezos' pocket, just like his fucking, just like his ex-wife. You know, and that's probably, smash that button.
You're not even a real journalist.
You know, and thanks to Phantom Lord for the sub, and yeah. So anyway, it didn't come as a surprise to see these guys who have had, they've just got a long history of shady practices and looking at the money first rather than the ethics of what they're promoting to their audience first. So the website they were promoting was something called mysterybrand.net. And let me tell you, as somebody that specializes in covering and reporting scams, this is one of the most transparent and obvious scam websites I think I have ever seen. This makes the CSGO casinos and the case opening websites look unbelievably legit by comparison. To give you an idea of how fucking far gone the website they were promoting was, if you look at this report here, which was done by the Daily Beast, the Daily Beast picked up on this story, and their journalist went out. One of the prizes that were on this website was a 200 supposedly a 250 million dollar mansion. $250 million mansion in a case that you can win. Now there's a million things which immediately should make you fucking go, well, that's just stupid, right? Well, here's the first thing. A $250 million mansion, right? If you were to get it, the fees you would have to pay to transfer a property of that value to somebody else with the deeds and everything else, that would cost you millions, you know, to get that deal done. So, I mean, that's how it works. See, when you transfer property, you obviously pay a lot of fees to have the deeds and entitlements and everything signed and notarized. There's all lawyers involved. You don't just literally open a case and they go, oh, hey, you won the $250 million mansion. Here's the keys. Peace out. There's all sorts. This is a huge property. Now, obviously, you're not winning a $250 million mansion. But what's super interesting is that the Daily Beast went and they were like, well, let's have a look at this mansion. Now, there's not many $250 million mansions. In fact, it was billed by this company themselves as being the most expensive piece of realty in LA. So that really narrows it down when it comes to finding it, right? So they were able to find it. It was in Bel Air, of course. It turns out that this website, Mystery Brand, don't even own the property. The property is up for sale. It's not theirs. It's listed at, hang on, I'll just take my little camera off. It's, you can see there, it's about $150 million. It's probably going to run to $188 million. And this is the exact same property that they're advertising as a $250 million mansion in their Dropbox. They don't own it. The rate of winning this was something like 0.000018%, which is absurd. That's still absurdly high for the price of what it is. So and you can see, I mean, again, I've got the image here. You can see this is literally how it was advertised in the boxes. The most expensive Los Angeles realty, $250 million, just there in a case, apparently. So complete nonsense. This was something that was explicitly mentioned in the Jake Paul video, the mansion. It's just ridiculous, right? I mean, if this doesn't inform you that there is a scam occurring, I don't know what it is. But yes, they don't even own the property in the first place. That should have been enough. Apparently not. Obviously, they're still doing a lot of, how should we say, popular work. I reached out to my sources and started asking around about this website, right? So first of all, let me just show you. Let me just find, I've got this here. Oi. That was totally unnecessary. Thank you there for the $5.
Jake Paul tries to scam his audience. Nothing happens from YouTube. Logan Paul shows a dead body in a video. Nothing happens from YouTube. Count Dankula makes a meme. Demonetized from YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, we could get into the Dankula stuff by comparison, but I mean, obviously, you can see immediately, like, this should be grounds to be removed from YouTube. Anyway, here's one of the cases. This is a $12.99 case, and if you look at some of the items that are available in it, you can see it's offering Ferraris. I mean, like, legitimately, it offers that $250 million mansion, right? I mean, there's the mansion, there's the Ferraris, handbags, you know, Rolex watches. Okay, let me tell you, we did the math on this, right? My one of my colleagues, one of my sources, we went and we did the math, right? On this, so for $12.99, I have a 0.1% chance of winning a Ferrari. They could sell this case for 25, this is according to the calculations, they could sell this for $25,000 a case. And if they had to give away any of these prizes, you know, at the percentage chance of winning it, they'd go bankrupt massively. For $12.99, this is clearly bullshit. $25,000 a case would see them out of business if they had to pay out with these odds. So that's how fucked up it is and how obvious that it isn't real. So that's fine. No problem there. Let's take a look at this other thing. A guy got in touch with me. Now, I'll be honest about this. Obviously, I get a lot of stuff tweeted at me from throwaway accounts, right? And I have no way of verifying this stuff because they create, typically how this will work is they create a Twitter account, right? They tweet at me and then they either delete the account or they don't reply to DMs because they never log into the account again. So I get that quite a bit, right? But this looks, and again, I showed it to my sources and they said, yeah, that looks exactly like what we would expect to see on this site. So somebody sent me a copy of the panel, or rather they tweeted at me anonymously a copy of the panel. So for those that don't remember, when I did the coverage about case opening sites, and we all remember it, right? You see people, the influencer, they're spinning the wheels and they go, oh my God, look guys, I just want to up Dragon Law. Oh God, oh my God. And they do these really bad fake reactions. And it's like, well, wow, like it must be legit. I mean, they were just playing, right? Well, of course they've got a panel where when they set the odds, so they win big, you know, and it can be you set to have a specific item, so you spin it, so you set it 100% that it's going to pay out that item. And then, of course, obviously, they never get the item because what they're getting in lieu of the item is they're getting paid to promote the website. So they get their money, and obviously, they never claim the item that they pretended to win on stream. So apparently, this website, this Mystery Box website, has a panel, as you'd expect. I mean, they all do. They all have to. I mean, just think about it. The point is, you shouldn't be able to set odds. If you control the casino, you shouldn't be able to rig the table. But of course, because this isn't regulated, they do that all the time. So as I said, somebody tweeted me the supposed panel for this website. And again, this could be a Photoshop, right? But you can see here, you have product price that it's valued at, and you set the chance out of 100 that it's going to drop. You can have it so it completely randomizes. You get, this is the referral code, the referral profit that you make, and you know, and you just set it up. So this looks like the stuff I've seen on the other websites of that nature. It wouldn't surprise me if here, yes, they indeed were rigging it, because in the videos that Jake Paul had and Ricegum had, of course they won stuff, you know. Then this is perhaps the most damning thing. I know a guy who basically associates with all of the people that code these websites. Understand that there are two things going on out there when it comes to case opening websites, casinos like this, all this online bullshit, right? First of all, you've got like hardcore legitimate coders that make it, and then you've got people who actually rip the code from other people and make bastardizations of the site, and you can't do anything about it because this is all unregulated gangland type shit, you know? And typically the latter category will fall into like Russia and China and places like this, who just laugh at you if you try and hold them accountable for copyright or stealing code. The other guys are typically Westerners who kind of know it's all a bit shady and a bit dodgy, but until it's regulated, they're happy to make their money doing this. So one of the things, when their boxes aren't ridiculous like this and have $250,000 mansions in, obviously the typical items are just shoes or iPhones or t-shirts, you know, by designer brands, designer labels. So basically, this guy that I know, who knows all these other people who code these websites, he sent me some chat logs, and I can't show you too much because then it becomes incriminating. But basically, one of the chat logs he sent me, hang on, let me just find this, was... what was the name? This one. And this was a guy explaining via Steam how these websites work. And it said, basically, they if somebody wins an item, what they do is they handpick the items that are available on Amazon and eBay, whatever they are. And it doesn't matter if they're fake or not. And they then use that to fill the order. And then they send them a tracking thing on the package and blah, blah, blah. And the owner doesn't care. So... just in case you weren't aware, the way like it works is, you know, there's obviously all these fake iPhones, fake Supreme t-shirts, fake Supreme goods, you know, fake Yeezys. And what they do is you basically wait until they can see a fake version of the thing you've won. Then mysteriously they go, oh, hey, they've just come into stock. They go, they get the fake Yeezys off eBay. They send it out to you. You get the fakes. You think you've won a legitimate thing that was worth the money in. And of course, they're massively making hand over fist profit while they do that. And obviously, of course that makes sense. Of course that makes sense that that's how they would do it, because we all know all the reason these things are valuable. It's not like Yeezys are good looking shoes, is it? It's just they're a designer brand and they have scarcity attached to them, so people want to buy them.
You're not even a real journalism.
So
that's right.
So anyway, pretty much we can now dig into the website itself as well. I'll just show you the website here. You can just have a look at it. And you'll see immediately that this is fucking gibberish. This is the website. Now listen, generally the stuff that is being won at the top on a lot of these websites, I've been under the hood of websites like this multiple times. Not this one. I have to stress, I don't have access to the panel, or I don't know the coder. I don't even know who created this website, because all of the who is and lookup information is all shrouded in secrecy for obvious reasons, which is another way that you can detect the scam. If somebody goes to the trouble of paying the fees associated with having like hidden who is lookup information and having a front company make it look like they own the website, and you can't even trace geographically exactly where it is, because as I'll show you, this is a US domain name registered in the US, yet it says on their terms of service the jurisdiction is Poland. They have ties to G2A, of course they do, and yet all of the goods apparently are coming from China. So it's a fucking mess. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I've talked about that before, like how Kingwin and G2A had the same business model. Your hard offices in Poland, you get your stuff from China or Hong Kong. You know, that's a typical, way to have things set up. But anyway, this top bar here, where it shows people winning, on other websites that I've looked at and been under, that's just the ticker that you set. So these accounts that are winning are usually bot accounts or fake accounts, or accounts that are controlled by the people who run the website, and they just have them winning like random items, and they do a general mix of, you know, oh hey, every like 50th thing on the ticker, make it a value X or above, so it looks like we do pay out these items. But of course, they're all going to accounts that they're not real people, and it's just there. It's just there to entice you to buy. Now, I don't know if that is against advertising law. It probably is. Who fucking knows, though, honestly? But generally, these are fake, all of these things at the top. It's not really people winning things in real time. It's a big shiny, oh, look at all the things we're giving out for real, you know? And then you go, oh, well, hey, it can't be a scam. Look, who wants a USB, pod? Who wants an iPhone charger? They're terrible prizes, so it must be legitimate, right? And of course, it's all just manufactured and constructed to lure you in, to give you this level of enticement. You can see here from the boxes, I mean, here's one, Super Yeezy. You can just click on a random box here, and you can see that it's for $74.99. You know, the prizes,
you're not even a real
journalist, are like, you know,
that's right.
I mean, either way, you're getting a shoe, right? Right. And again, these, I forget which, I think it's, is it yellow is the most common, or is that the rare? I think it starts with the most common. And then the purples are the more scarce. So that doesn't make sense, because I would have thought a Yeezy was more expensive than a Converse Chuck Taylor. So maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, yellow's the rarest, right? Okay, good. I watched another video when I was researching this, and they said purple was like the scarcest. But that makes no sense, right? So you can see, either way, you're getting, you know, I mean, even down here in the common ones, you can see that, like, you know, these, there's still Yeezys available down there. Right?
But Richard, the Overwatch community told me they are real people.
Not bad. Good joke. So pretty crazy. And you spin it, and then, you know, if you win, you sign up and you claim your shoe. And they do this for multiple stuff. It's not just for shoes. You know, obviously they've got, like, I mean, again, just open anything else. They've got Supreme clothes. They got, you know, but this is all fake. This is all nonsense. This is all really, really fucking stupid. Now, if you go to, I think it's in the FAQ, you're going to start to see one of the fundamental problems that this website has, right? It starts saying, how does it work? A lot of boxes, you open a box, you get one of the items, you fill in your details, we send it to you. What are the differences? You know, blah, blah, blah. Again, just right in a bit. But look, right, it says, how do I track my packages in the order history? And it says, track your items. And it says, our parcel will give you a tracking number and you can easily track it. PackageRadar.com/China. Aftership.com, Korea's China Post. China, eh? Now, there's something that China are famous for, and it's not just violating human rights, okay? They've done a lot. China, they've contributed loads of stuff. That's just the government, by the way, before everyone gets bent out of fucking shape, right? Let's have a look at China. Let's have a look at just some recent news reports, right? I mean, because I don't know if you've seen recently, Facebook had a massive clampdown because they were busted, basically allowing Chinese companies that make fake goods to run ads on their website. So Facebook got into trouble for that. But I mean, just to give you an idea of the level of money that is involved in these fake goods and just how prolific they actually are, you can see here that there was this report. This is just from this, partway through last year. Is it gonna let me open it? Well, it's gonna paywall me. Well, anyway, there was a seizure of Chinese goods. Let me see if I can just bring this up, actually, because it's worth taking a look at. Here we go. This should work, I think. Ugh, Seattle Times with its stupid fucking perma-night mode. Get me out. What about this one? Okay, this should do it. I got a feeling this is going to work because it's not slathered in ads. There we go. Right, so you can see here, this was the report from partway August just last year, $500 million of luxury goods being brought into America, which is also another thing to think about if you're using these websites, because obviously if you are getting fake goods, you might think, well, I don't care. I mean, like, it still looks the shit. You'd be better off just buying them on the black market directly. You would save yourself a fortune than opening these cases. But of course, understand that any goods that are illegal, that are black market, that are posing as another brand, that come into America, they can be seized. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a big seizure like this. They can be seized and taken because it's against the law. So you got here, the federal government seized counterfeit Gucci bags, Hermes belts, Tory Burch purses. And these are the types of items, you know, like Louis Vuitton handbags, things like this, that are on these websites. And I think it's quite telling that you have this like huge black market economy in China, and the tracking of the packages all take you back to China. I don't know. Far be it from me to suggest that maybe there are some fake, items associated with this. But then, if you start looking into whether or not people are getting their items, this is another thing. It's not even that people are getting the fakes. Like, I mean, if you go to their Facebook page, and I haven't checked it today, so maybe they'll have scrubbed some of this off. Let's just have a look. They've actually gone through and been deleting some comments, I think. So let's have a look here. So this is their official Facebook page. Some of the comments have been scrubbed since I checked a few days ago. But look, you can see like, oh, hey, sign up to the... I mean, again, Facebook should just immediately shut this down. I mean, this is ridiculous. You can see, hey, look, want to win a Bentley Continental GT 2018 for just a $50 raffle ticket, effectively. Gibberish. Let's have a look, actually. Fuck off, Facebook, spying on me. Let's have a look. Can I get these comments? This guy left a lot of message saying it's a scam. They blocked him on Twitter.
You know, journalism. That's right.
Fucking get out. I mean, it's that guy again. Scam. You owe me an item since October. Let's see if the thing replied. Do you actually think you're going to get anything? It's a scam. You know, there's loads and loads of messages just out there on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Reddit even, people saying, listen, we're not getting our items. Now, all of this, by the way, is fairly obvious to you and me, right? Like, we're just normal people, educated. If it sounds too good to be true, it always is. That's how life works. But the thing is, there is no way that you couldn't have just ran this advertising campaign. You couldn't take their name and put it in Google if you're a Jake Paul or if you're a Rice Gum. You could have absolutely checked. You could have absolutely seen for yourself that these are not a legitimate company. But they have no interest in doing that. Now, that for me is, if you promote a brand that is involved in shady shit like this on your platform, you should have a pretty good excuse. You should be like, well, listen, there wasn't anything out there. I couldn't possibly have known. Like, let's say, for example, if they're a legitimate company, you start promoting them and they do a fucking heel turn and do a bunch of shady shit, you should just be allowed to kind of like disavow, apologize, and it's all good, right? This is old news. This is stuff that's been out there for a while. There is no way Jake Paul, Rice Gum wouldn't have known any of this stuff. And not to mention just how unbelievably suspicious and shady it is right from the get-go. Here's another thing that's worth talking about, just again as well. The provably fair system. For those of you that maybe missed all of my reporting about this stuff, come, this is going to open up. You can do it. I mean, you don't have to. I can just do this, I guess.
You're not even a real journalism.
That's right. There it is. So for those of you who don't know, right, the whole point of a provably fair system is to, and you have to have a provably fair system to be legitimate in the regulated countries. You have to have one if you're going to do any form of online gambling, right? And what a provably fair system is, it basically enables you to check that there was no fuckery around your rolls, around your spins, right? So it's good. I've said a lot of these scam websites that I covered back in the day didn't have provably fair systems, but you go down here, oh, hey, look, they got a provably fair system. Well, I guess it's all legitimate then, but you click on the provably fair system. And what it does is it takes the input of your data, right? You can see here, For check the provably fair, all right, mate, but broken English immediately puts my mind at ease when I'm giving money, you know. It immediately, listen, they couldn't even take the time to just put a legible sentence here. I'm sure it's fine. For check the provably fair, please fill inputs with your data and press verify button on the right side. You can see the result of verifying. Mystery brand reveals the provably fair algorithm. If you want to check the winning result on the third party resource to see the algorithm, follow this thing. All this does is when you win, you put it in, right? You put in the number that you had. You put in your spin, and it just comes up and it just says, yeah, it's legit. That's it. That's all it does. It's like, wait. And it just gives you a unique, you know, it's like, come on, man. That's not just what provably fair is designed to do. And it's not what it should be doing. So the provably fair system, I mean, that's all gibberish anyway. And so, whatever. So there's that. Then, as I said, the terms of service. Let me just see if I can find it. Is it at the bottom here? The TOS. Yeah, terms and conditions. So I think if you, where was it? Was it? Right. Let me just find it. But yeah, basically the terms of service are as worrying as you'd expect them to be. You know, it throws in there that if you're under 13, you can't do it, which is interesting because most countries, the law is a lot higher than that for anything that constitutes gambling. So why they set it at 13, who knows? Where was the other part of it that was crazy? Yeah, there it is. The website, under no circumstances, does not return the money spent on a mystery box and does not exchange the product for another. It is not liable. I mean, again, they can't write the sentence. If the mystery box was significantly higher than the cost of the one, I don't even know. What they're trying to say here is, right, what this sentence, this mangled sentence is trying to say is they will not refund money spent on a mystery box. So they're distancing themselves from any potential refunds. And they also say you cannot exchange the product for another if the mystery box was higher than the cost of the one item. So basically, if you get garbage, you can't exchange your garbage, is what it's trying to say. We are not, I mean, this is always good as well. We are not responsible for any damages or losses incurred by you as a result of technical failure. So I guess, you know, oh, I've just won that $250 million mansion. Oh, but it's crashed. Well, yeah, we're not liable for that. Sorry. Sorry that you won the $250 million mansion. We're just going to pocket your money. But what is this? We are not responsible if your computer is infected with viruses or malware when using this website. What the fuck does that mean? What? Who's infecting? Who's giving me viruses and malware? And surely if I use your website and I get a virus or malware, surely it's on you. Like, nope. Okay, I guess. And then obviously the exclusion of liability, which is brilliant, right? It just says, you use this website at your own risk. As if that would ever legally protect you if you don't provide the services you say, right? You use it at your own risk. What does that mean? What risk? What are the risks? Oh, right, the risk of you not giving me the items and keeping my money. Okay, good to know. Where's the bit about Poland? I gotta find it. Obviously, a long bit about G2A here, as I told you. G2A heavily involved, as they are with all these. Yeah, this is it. The original text of these items, of these terms and conditions, are written in Polish. Any interpretation and the interpretation should be based on the Polish text. In all cases and under all circumstances, the Polish version of terms and conditions takes precedence over versions in other languages. It also says that where was it? Was it repudiation, severability? Oh, here it is, right at the end. Jurisdiction. These terms are interpreted and are subject to the jurisdiction and the laws of Poland. As a user, you implicitly agree to the exclusivity rights of the courts of Poland to regulate these claims and disputes arising in condition with any legal requirements of all parties in any way relating to these terms of use. So it's an American website getting goods from China with physical offices and laws that apply in Poland. So you know immediately, like, if you get fucked, good luck trying to sue these motherfuckers. Good luck with that. Good luck with, like, oh, hey, I'm an American. I used a website in America. You didn't give me my stuff. Now I'm going to sue you using the laws of Poland, which I totally don't understand. You know, like, what? It just screams. Like, everything about this screams scam. I can't believe that anybody would promote this website. Like, anybody who gave a fuck about their brand and their reputation. Which is the key thing, right? I mean, obviously, they don't give a fuck about their brand and their reputation. They give a fuck about this thing. I think it's called money. I think it's money that they really like. So anyway, now, obviously, people started calling them out for this. I didn't bother. Like, I said this. I almost feel like, you know, listen, it's terrible if children get scammed, obviously. But if you're an adult and you've used this website, I almost feel this is a test for Darwinism, in a way. So I just didn't make a big fuss about it, because you would just have to be unbelievably stupid to think this was in any way legitimate. But for children, it gets more complicated, because obviously, when it was just regular folk, I look at my analytics, my audience at 18 to 35, that's my audience. If you look down at, like, you know, the people below 18, it's tiny. It's small. It's like a fraction. I got more fucking 40-year-olds watching my shit than I do fucking 13-year-olds, you know? So I know when I talk and you know, I have a partnership with Rivalry, right? So obviously I know I'm talking to adults. I care, right? Like, I give a fuck about that stuff. Jake Paul, Ricegum, like Jake Paul especially, Jake Paul's on the record as saying that he knows his audience is like 8 to 13. Why would you ever promote this website? Why would you ever promote this website? Even the shaky terms and conditions say you've got to be 13 plus. I mean, I imagine that rules out most Jake Paulers or Paul Jakers dabbing on them haters, trying to win $250 million mansions because they want to be like their fucking idol because they don't know any better. This should just be so far off fucking limits. It's mind-boggling to me. And YouTube should have took action immediately. They should have took action immediately. But YouTube don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. There's more money in Jake Paul basically being on the platform and having kids come on the platform. That's what YouTube want it to be. They want it to be a corporate-friendly childhood playground. This is why toy unboxings make millions. Toy unboxing channels make millions and millions of sponsorships. And video games channels, they don't. Because they're not interested. They're not interested in your violent video games. They're not interested in your political rhetoric. Unless you're helping Hillary Clinton get elected, then it's perfectly fine. What they give a fuck about is your content being no more than PG-13. And it doesn't matter if you're going to fucking try and scam a bunch of 8-year-olds. At the end of the day, those 8-year-olds are still coming onto YouTube. You're still getting those high advertising metrics. They will tolerate Jake Paul's shit because the money comes in. This is the same guy who just towards the end of last year was basically demonstrated to be selling fucking clip art t-shirts to people at huge markups, you know, doing what was advertising jingles, literally advertising jingles, buy my merch, which you have to buy. You have to buy the advertisement that's a song telling you to buy their products. I mean, this is a level of fucking cynical, disgusting bullshit that YouTube can stop at any time they want. They can stop at any time they want. They do not want to. And this is why they allow a website like Mystery Brand to be endorsed by one of their most popular YouTubers that they know has a childlike audience. They will turn a blind eye to it all day fucking long. And it's a disgrace. Now, what I will say is, Ricegum, who is also, he's what I like to call a bellend. Ricegum is just a guy who is like just a complete fucking fake, an absolute fraud. I don't know how anyone can like his content. He's an idiot with nothing to say. He poses as if he's like some fucking, you know, street kid. He ain't. He fucking, you know, he even has his lyrics to his fucking raps ghostwritten. We've obviously seen the content cop on him by iDubbbz. The guy's a fucking absolute bellend. He has no principles. Let's be real. He has no personality. He just flip-flops whatever he has to do to get clicks. Hey, today I'm a pickup artist. Hey, today I'm telling you how serious it is to treat women accurately. Hey, today I'm advertising gambling to kids. You know, whatever's popular, whatever's going to get him clicks, whatever's going to get him attention. That's how fucking Ricegum fucking rolls, and that's how he'll always roll until he's fucking stopped, and people don't want to stop him, you know, and that's fine, but just know what he is, and that is basically he would say anything and do anything for a paycheck. That's it. He is the ultimate, he is a new breed of proto-shill that somehow have careers on YouTube, and somehow people can't see through it and think these people are genuine and honest and real and give a fuck about their audience, and they don't. They don't give a fuck about any of it. They don't give a fuck about you at all. They will milk those fucking kids dry until their fucking parents' credit cards are maxed out, and then they'll make another video for more kids with money, a new product, new this, new that. Oh, hey, what's in today? We'll go back to being creepy pickup artists. We'll go back to having fake beefs. Let's have a fake boxing match. Let's just do whatever we got to do to just inauthentically keep money coming in. It's a joke. It's a joke. And YouTube are the fucking enablers for this. YouTube enable this. YouTube like this. They demonetize people at random. You know, I've said it many times. They demonetize my stuff. Typically, my video goes in. It goes into a default state. I have to appeal. By the time I appeal, I make no money on the video. YouTube's a joke to me now. I don't even take it seriously. It's why I've stopped scripting videos, because what's the point? I had a video hit 1.7 million hits, right? The Forsaken video. I used a tiny little clip of music, which is completely within fair use. YouTube allows somebody who didn't even write that song to claim it and take all the money off that video. So what is the
point?
But
bro, Rice Scum made fun of that Jacob Sartorius guy for 3 months, bro. He's a real G, bro.
Yep. So what is the point? What is the point? And you've seen this more and more and more, that as YouTube starts to, I love you corporations, just drinking the black worm jizz of demonic fucking corporations in America, right? Which they just fucking, they just have given them carte blanche on the platform. So now if you make content, fair use doesn't matter. Original content doesn't fucking matter. None of it matters. If a corporation doesn't like what you're doing, you'll be demonetized. You'll have your videos put in a restricted status. You'll have them claim your hard work, and then you'll get locked into a 3-month-long appeal process just to have the video unlocked so you can start making money on it, which, of course, the way YouTube works, you don't make money on it after the first week. It's gone. Your video would have to blow up and somehow go viral after the fact. They do it on purpose. It is to discourage certain types of content and to appease corporations. Ever since the Wall Street Journal nonsense, forget about it. It's a matter of time, actually, before you start seeing really big. I think 2019, 2020, sometime around then, you're going to see guys like PewDiePie leave YouTube and try and use some of their money and influence and maybe some capital that's been raised by a group that isn't interested in so much appeasing these corporations. They're going to try and create their own platform. And I think that's the smart play, because I think we can all see what YouTube are about right now. But anyway, that's a side rant. Let's not get into it. And it's not about purging. It's not about purging. I understand the business model YouTube have, and I understand who their friends are. But as I said, if you ever thought that YouTube wasn't going to go this way, you were very fucking naive. It's been going this way for a long, long time. And it's a matter of time before they, you know, they know who make them the money. Right? And they know whose values they can stand by. It's interesting, isn't it, that PewDiePie accidentally promotes somebody who made one video that contained anti-Semitic rhetoric because he didn't see the video, didn't know the video, immediately recanted it, and he is bombarded with hit after hit after hit about how he's a Nazi, how he's an anti-Semite. YouTube start distancing themselves from him. He doesn't get to appear in the Rewind video, right? It's interesting, though, that Jake Paul can literally do, and I've got another one about Jake Paul. Jake Paul can film dead people, show animal cruelty, can, you know, these are all inarguable, real, tangible things he did. Promote gambling to underage kids. Sell clip art merch to them at huge markups. Violate and flaunt advertising laws in America. He could do all of these things, and YouTube zipped, stony silent. Haven't said a fucking thing, and he'll be in the Rewind video and beyond. He will be, they're happy to have him as the face of YouTube, but not somebody who makes an oopsie. So, insane. But anyway, Rice Gum. Apologized. He did an apology, right? He did one of his classic, fake, insincere apologies for promoting Mystery Brand. Which, by the way, I've got to mute his voice while he's just doing it. Put it this way as well, like, his videos They just make me sad. They just make me sad for the future of humanity with the fucking constant jump cuts and the fake emotion and the barely legible sentences. And it's just, it's tragic. But what he did was at the start of the video, he talked about how actually other creators had promoted it too. So why didn't we go after those guys? He talks a little bit about H3H3 because, of course, they called him out for it, as you'd expect. I mean, H3H3 have been morally consistent on the issue. And then he apologizes. So let me... Here's the apology, right? Like, oh, God, do we have to listen to him? I guess we do, don't we? Fuck. Ugh.
It's true. It's true. I'm an asshole. Like, what was I thinking? Like, I can't really do much because I already did it. The damage has been done. You guys already saw a money-hungry side of me, and it is what it is, and there's nothing I can really do but say sorry and give you these Amazon gift cards. So, I'm sorry. It just wouldn't happen again. Amazon costs $10 to $20. Just a little giveaway. It's the least I can do after, you know, this, you know. Okay. Have a good day, guys. I'm sorry again. I hope you guys can forgive me. Let's have a good year? Yeah? No? Okay. Alright. Alright.
Right, so if that didn't make you want to fucking end your life, I probably should have put a trigger warning ahead of it, right? I mean, he literally did a sad lol, by the way. Did you actually see? Shamelessly enough, he actually did a real legitimate sad lol. He did a sad lol. With the emotionally manipulative music in the background to add sincerity to an apology when he can barely stop himself laughing. And, okay, so he decides that what I'm going to do is atonement for promoting gambling to my young audience, and forget that for a second, just promoting, even if his audience wasn't young, even if he had the same demographics I did, you're promoting a scam website, you're promoting a site that is all garbage across the board, complete lies, multiple examples of them not paying out prizes, multiple examples of people getting fake prizes, multiple examples of things that just simply cannot be true, a nonsensical provably fair system, all of this you could have just took 5 minutes out of your day before accepting the check for $200,000 or whatever the fuck it was and promoting it. You could have just done that, right? But forget that, right? So out of atonement, he gives away, he says these are Amazon gift codes that are between $10 and $20 each, and he gives out another one. So he probably is all told, at best, gave away $200, right?
Have one of these $10 Amazon gift cards, sad lol frown.
Yeah, indeed. Sad lol frown, right? The sad lol frown, all one word, right? So you're like, okay, well, at least he did something. Slight problem with that, though. Because what happened with the fake sad lol apology and the fucking gift codes, well, it turned out the gift codes were all expired gift codes. They were all expired Amazon codes that didn't work. Is this where we're at, YouTube? Is this actually where we're at? It can't be real, but it's real. This is a real thing that really happened. That even in his apology, he scammed people. He scammed people with his apology for scamming people. I can't. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. How this is a fucking... This is a real thing that's happening on a platform that meanwhile is upset over a guy teaching his dog a Pavlovian response. You know, like, oh, we've got to lock everything down. YouTube's radicalizing people. How about we just move away from that bullshit and get down to something that has, like, an actual tangible impact on people, right? This is a guy who promoted a scam website to a young audience, took money for it, which he could only get because of your platform. You enabled it. You allowed it. You didn't intervene. The video is still on there, right? And then in his apology, he gives out a bunch of expired Amazon codes and you enable that and allow that too. And you say nothing. YouTube, you say nothing. Okay. I sleep. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. With this stuff. But it's clearly a scam. It's clearly nonsense. I think it's a matter of time before, you know, the website gets closed, honestly. I think that's going to happen. I think it's kind of hit peak profitability now, so it's going to get closed down. This is also what happens with these websites. You'll notice they very quickly close down. They give you like 48 hours notice to like get your goods, withdraw, and then they just disappear. And that's coming for this mystery brand website right now. And then, you know, they've had it. The influx of business they'll have got from the Rice Gum and Jake Paul videos is more than worth it for them to just close the website now. I'll give it a month. They'll close the website and they'll disappear and no one will ever talk about them again. And that's that. Just another massive scam.